Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, doing a little quarterback snap reactions. Again, trying some different versions of this. So pretty excited about some of the stuff that we're going to look at today. Let me just start first with Daniel Jones. So this might seem like an absolutely ridiculous place to start, but I do think it is worth noting that there is a pretty massive progression going on here in terms of some very important stats that I still don't think the market has caught up to. And I know that there was some Twitter kerfuffling going on about Daniel Jones versus Sam Darnold. And I think that some of the stats that we could talk about probably will show some of that. So let's go back to 2019 really quick and talk about it. Just work forward 2019, 2020, 2021 so far. So in 2019, he had a PFF pass grade of 65.6. He threw for 6.6 yards per attempt. He had 4.1 big time throws percentage to 5.5 turnover worthy plays. So that is, again, I think the big criticism of him, if you were to sort of look at him, is, hey, he made a lot of mistakes, which is fair. Like, he had that's a 5.5 turnover worthy play rate is a big rate, and it far outpaced his big time throws. So undoubtedly, the problem with some of that is that if you just sort of use that primacy effect on evaluating a quarterback, or evaluating anything really, but especially a quarterback that has a long arc, you can sort of get an idea of some of the shorter positions, like at running back, and it might be harder to sort of break through in year three just because you're more limited career. Whereas the upside of Daniel Jones over the long term is functional long-term starting quarterback in the NFL. I mean, that could be a 10, 12-year proposition. Could be more. At an upside, obviously. So I think, like, when you have that initial take, like, especially on a rookie, I think there's some caution and concern that you should have. He goes through some coaching changes, all that stuff. So, right, that's obviously you've got, those issues. So, anyways, he comes through, and the next year, so again, 65.6, he jumps up in his second year to 74.4 in terms of PFF grade, pretty good. No difference, and here's some of the problems with it, right? And I think this is where we sort of, as a dynasty community, get a little bit clouded by the fantasy impact, right? So he's actually halves his touchdowns, right? So he goes from 24 down to 11 on basically the same amount of dropbacks, 6.6 yards per attempt. There's no real growth, right? And so you could say, like, man, like, he actually took a step back as a fantasy player. He actually took a big step forward as a quarterback. And so some of the ancillary stuff around that, you just get some of that bad touchdown luck, right? That stuff happens. And so when you take that as a whole, you say, okay, that's actually a sign maybe he's due for regression, especially with the fact that there's progression in some of his other stats. Where's the progression? Well, 65.6 to 74.4 passing grade. And then big time throws, he goes from 4.1 to 5. So again, a modest increase there. I think the big one, 5.5 turnover worthy plays down to 3.1%. All right, so 5.5% down to 3.1%, a pretty massive increase, a pretty massive reduction in his turnover worthy plays. So that's a big step forward. Again, the yards per attempt, same. Touchdowns, down. So you could sort of say, like, hey, what are we seeing here? Well, all the other ancillary stuff's pointed to an uptick. We go forward a step further, and we get to 2021, and boom goes the dynamite. You get a 74.4 PFF grade up to an 88, which is top five at the position. You get 6.6 yards per attempt, explodes up to 8.2. He's got four touchdowns. Again, that's still, we'll get to that in a second. He goes, it's actually down in terms of big time throw rate. So 5.0 down to 3.8, actually. So that's actually the lowest of his career. But here's the big one, 2.2 turnover worthy plays. So he is taking what's given to him. He's actually throwing at a higher ADOT too. So he's throwing at a higher ADOT, right, which is sort of where you get more of that. You can get some more it's actually a sign that's that it's more open. Right? I would be sort of my theory is that he's getting more stuff down the field, and it's not really in that tight of windows on some of those big time throws. So that's an interesting sort of dichotomy there with him. Again, that's kind of growth across the board. He's up across his entire career in terms of adjusted completion percentage. Same in terms of time to throw. It's right about where it was last year, so that's good. Pressure to sack rate's down at the lowest of his career. It was 18.1. And his rookie year, 20.6%. Again, this is the amount of pressures that turn into sacks. You want that number to be low. It was 18.1 as a rookie, 21.6 as a second-year guy, 15.4 as a third-year guy. Again, it's only three games, but you look at the defenses here. It's Denver, it's Washington, it's New Orleans. Again, there's Atlanta baked in there, but it's not. This isn't the Carolina situation where you're like, hey, the you know, you played all these, you know, you played the Jets and you play like some other teams and you're like, oh, we got a really good defense. And then you go to Dallas and get just shellacked, right? I don't think that this is the deal with Daniel Jones. I think it's actually a pretty good sign. Now, what some of my concerns with Daniel Jones aren't really Daniel Jones related. And I think like when we look at this, we got to say like, wow, this is some interesting stuff. So he's eighth right now in terms of overall fantasy scoring. And I'm just using the Football Guys sort of standard scoring. He's got four touchdowns on 144 attempts. It's a 2.8 touchdown rate. So he is a top eight quarterback right now with a basically half the touchdown rate you would expect. Pretty good. 29% of his scoring is actually from rushing, which puts him fourth in the league in terms of his percentage of his points coming from rushing for quarterbacks over 50 passing attempts. By way of reference, when you look at this, it's actually Justin Fields at number one. And then you sort of get to Lamar Jackson and Sam Darnold actually as number three. So again, up there in the my question for Daniel Jones has always been at this point is really like, hey, we always want running quarterbacks, and for some reason now we don't. That's the interesting thing about this whole aspect is like we always want guys that can run, and now no one does. So that's a decent percentage there in terms of 29%. And again, I think when you look at it, like he's got two rushing touchdowns, 27 attempts. When you look at a guy like Sam Darnold, he's got 20 attempts and he's got five rushing touchdowns. So he's 5 for 6 down at the goal line in terms of converting touchdowns, right? That's just not sustainable. When you look at the volume of Daniel Jones, you look at some of his rushing stuff, the fact he doesn't have more touchdowns, the fact he's actually not a top five quarterback right now is a little bit surprising to me, given how well he has played in all that. Time to throw, middle of the pack in terms of air yards, it's good. He's eighth in terms of CPOE at 3.6, which is, again, excellent. Ninth in terms of yards per attempt, that's excellent. So when you sort of look at all this, again, the interesting part about it is in terms of red zone points, 0%, this is incredible, 0% of his passing yards are from red zone points. So if we want to actually round up, it's 0.2%. So it's 0.2% of his points are passing points in the red zone. Again, he does have some rushing stuff, but when you look at his passing numbers, he's gotten essentially nothing out of the red zone. So, I expect that to regress and that to potentially grow. Why? Well, when we look at it, he is up there in terms of passing attempts into the red zone. He has 7. So these are actual attempts that go into the end zone. So balls that were actually thrown into the end zone. He has 7 of them. He has 0 touchdowns. He is the only person with more than him and Justin Fields are the only people with more than four or more to have 0 touchdowns on those plays. And when you sort of look at that, Fields has 4 attempts Jones has 7. So of the quarterbacks so far that qualify overall at the position, you just have like it's a big difference here in terms of he's basically one of it's Mac Jones, Tyrod Taylor, Justin Fields, and Daniel Jones is the only guys that don't have a touchdown in the end zone. They actually threw a touchdown in the end zone. And when you look at some of the rate stuff, I expect it to go – I expect him to get the, be the benefit of some positive regression, and that is why you see a sub-3 touchdown rate. Right? Some of that stuff, I expect a pretty big uptick from him as we go along here. So I do think he's in the midst of a breakout. I think that's worth noting, and it probably important to discuss ultimately. And then when you look at, you know, some of his touchdown, like his, the really interesting part is PFF has points per dropback. So they have him at 16th at 0.57. That's again, 16th out of 34 qualifiers. And that's without any touchdowns. Right. So, I mean, that is without any, that's without really any sort of luck on the touchdown front. When you compare it to, you know, Kirk, he's the same as Kirk Cousins, who's got 7 touchdowns in the red, in the end zone. Right. He's got 7 touchdowns on throws that actually went into the end zone. I just think when you look at that, you just, it's entirely about, you know, that we should expect some stuff here going forward. So I'm optimistic about Daniel Jones. With Darnold, I mean, I just think the rushing stuff, right, when you sort of look at some of his rushing stuff, you just have a little bit more concern about the fantasy aspect of him and about, you know, is that really sustainable? Is 5 touchdowns on 6 red zone rushes, is he going to get, you know, multiple cracks down there a week inside the 5? And if he does, is he going to convert them all? Like, that's a question I have. When you look at his grading stuff, you say, okay, like he's improved. Yeah, he's up to 8.1 passing yards per attempt. He's got 5 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. His big time throw rate is up 4.5. It's the best of his career. His turnover worthy plays, it's down to the lowest point in his career. It's at 3%. His ADOT's the lowest of his career. You know, he's not being sacked really at any different rate on pressures. When you look at some of the red zone stuff for him as well, he is 14th in terms of passing attempts in the red zone with 17 attempts. He's got 3 touchdowns. And again, you just look at he's got 6 carries inside the 5, and he's converted 5 of them for touchdowns. So just your short yardage back down there. I would expect that to come back a little bit. I think if you're looking at which one of these guys is potentially the big breakout of this year, I think it's more Daniel Jones than it is Sam Darnold. We have more of a sample too of Sam Darnold being, less good. We've seen progression out of Daniel Jones. We haven't really seen any sort of progression out of Sam Darnold until this 3-game sample, when it's a modest improvement. I don't think it's a great improvement. It's a modest one. And at no point in his career has he ever had more big-time throws and turnover-worthy plays. This year he does. Again, in 4 games against the Jets, the Saints, Houston, and Dallas. Again, this, you look at the 2 games that are good, not surprising, it's the Jets and it's Houston. And then you look at the 2 games that are bad, and it's the Saints and it's Dallas. So, again, from a fantasy perspective, he's scoring a lot of points. I would just be cautious and concerned. I think that when you look at the position generally, I'm a little bit more skeptical of him than I am a guy like Daniel Jones. I think Daniel Jones is in the middle of a potential big-time breakout, which I think is notable for the position. All right, let's look at some of the touchdown rates that are sort of off. 9.9% for Patrick Mahomes. Again, that's too high. He's quarterback 1 at present. That should come down, one would presume here. I think Brady's interesting at quarterback 3 right now, and this is, I just use the Football Guy's standard scoring for this, but he's at 5.4%. When you look at basically his usage rate, he leads the NFL in red zone attempts down there. It's him and Josh Allen just throwing the ball a ton in the red zone. He's got eight touchdowns inside the 20 on 33 attempts. So that's a big time deal there in terms of how much they use him. They basically don't run down there, which I admire. When you look at some of the additional ones, again, Sam Darnold, 3.4 in terms of touchdown rate. So he's getting a lot of that from rushing, which I'm just looking at the passing touchdown rate. That's sort of where it's coming from. 2.2 for Lamar Jackson, again, but he's got 2 rushing touchdowns as well. 5.8 for Josh Allen. That's pretty neutral. Here's some of the concerning ones that I'm sort of looking at and saying, if this is sort of where we're at, maybe we have a little bit of pause. Matthew Stafford is a quarterback 9, and he's got an 8.1 touchdown rate. And basically none of his production is on the ground. So that's one that I have a little bit of concern with. And, you know, he's got 11 passing touchdowns to 2 interceptions. This basically puts him on a, north of 45 touchdown.